Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an old-school jungle or D&B breakbeat in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into a tighter, more DJ-friendly drum section that still keeps all that raw personality. We're not trying to sterilize the break. We're trying to sharpen it, organize it, and make it work like a real part of a club record. That distinction matters a lot in drum and bass. The breakbeat is often the soul of the tune. It's the groove, the texture, the movement, and sometimes the whole identity of the track. But if it's too loose, too messy, or too crowded, it'll fight the bass line, blur the drop, and make the intro hard to mix. So our job here is to keep the dusty swing and the human feel, but tighten the structure so a DJ can actually use it. We're aiming for that classic old-school energy around 170 to 174 BPM, with a clean intro, a proper rolling drop, a few tasteful variations, and an outro that makes sense in a set. Think sound system friendly, selector friendly, and still full of attitude. First thing, set your project tempo somewhere around 172 BPM. That's a really nice sweet spot for this style. Put the project in 4/4 and go straight into arrangement view, because we're building a phrase, not just a loop. That arrangement mindset is important. Don't just think in bars. Think in DJ entry points. Where can another tune mix in? Where does the energy open up? Where does the bass come in? Those are the questions that matter. Create a few tracks to keep things organized. You'll want one for the main drum break, one optional drum layer, one atmosphere track, one bass track, and one FX track. Color coding helps a lot here too. In fast-moving D&B sessions, the less time you spend hunting around the screen, the more time you spend listening to the groove. Now load your break. If it's a full audio break, simpler is usually the fastest way to get moving. Turn warp on, then use beats mode so Ableton preserves the transients properly. You want the break to stay punchy, not smeared. If needed, choose a transient preserving grain setting, but don't overdo the stretching. We're tightening the break, not flattening its energy. Pick a break with character, something like an Amen-style break, a Think-style break, or another dusty funk break with a solid snare and enough hat movement to keep it alive. The best break for this lesson has a clear backbeat, some ghost detail, and a kick that gives you something to anchor to. Before you edit anything, listen for the anchor hits. Usually that means the strongest kick, the main snare, and any ghost kick or pickup that gives the phrase momentum. Those are the hits you care about most. Tighten those to the grid if needed, but don't lock every little detail into perfect robotic timing. In old-school D&B, the groove lives in the tiny imperfections. If you make everything perfectly quantized, the break loses its lean, and suddenly it sounds like a loop instead of a performance. A good move here is to quantize lightly at 1/16, then manually nudge back any ghost notes that now feel too stiff. Keep the snare and kick stable, but let the hats, room noise, and little in-between bits breathe. That unstable top line is part of what makes jungle feel alive in a club. Next, clean up the sound before you go further. Add EQ 8 to the break track, put a gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz to clear out rumble you don't need. If the break sounds boxy, try a small dip somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz. If the snare is too sharp, a light notch around 3 to 6 kHz can help. If the hats feel dull, a gentle shelf around 8 to 10 kHz can bring the top back. After that, add drum bus. Keep it controlled. A little drive, maybe 5 to 15%. Keep boom low unless the break really needs low-end help. Use a bit of crunch for grit, and push transients up a little if you want more crack. This is where the break starts to feel more immediate without losing the sample character. If the break is still a little spiky or inconsistent, follow it with a light compressor. You're only looking for a few decibels of gain reduction, not heavy squashing. Aim for a medium attack and a fairly quick release so the punch still gets through. The goal is to make the hits feel more consistent, not to crush the bounce out of them. Now we can turn that source break into a usable phrase. Duplicate the loop over 2 or 4 bars so you can hear how it works in context. If you want more control, slice it to a new MIDI track using Slice to New MIDI Track and let Ableton chop it by transients. That gives you a playable version of the break, so you can edit it like a drummer. This is where the arrangement starts to come alive. Keep the main kick and snare pattern recognizable. Remove anything that's cluttering the bass. But do preserve the ghost notes. Those tiny hits are what keep the loop moving forward. One really useful D&B trick is to make the first bar a bit more open, and the second bar a little busier. Then repeat that idea over the next bars with slight changes. You get a call and response feeling inside the drum loop itself, which is very jungle, very old school, and very effective. Now let's add some groove. Open the groove pool and try a subtle swing from an MPC style or funk derived groove. Keep it light. You usually want just a little timing movement and maybe a touch of velocity variation. If the hat starts sounding sloppy or late, back it off. In this style, the groove should be felt more than heard. Then do some micro timing by hand. Push a few ghost notes slightly ahead if you want urgency. Pull a snare tail slightly behind if you want weight. Keep the main backbeat stable. Tiny timing changes can make a huge difference, especially once the bass comes in. D&B lives or dies on the relationship between the kick, snare, and bass line. If those three elements are locked together, the tune feels like a weapon. If they're fighting each other, it turns into mush. Now let's build the DJ-friendly structure. This is the part that makes the lesson useful in a real set. We want an intro that gives a DJ space to mix in, a main section that hits with authority, and an outro that lets the next record come in cleanly. A solid intro might start with strip drums and atmosphere for the first four bars, then bring in hats and ghost percussion over the next four bars. After that, introduce the main break without full bass. Then toward the end of the intro, tease the bass, add a riser, or place a snare pickup that signals the drop. That kind of structure gives the DJ time to beat match and gives the listener a clear sense of build. On your atmosphere elements, use auto filter to keep the intro filtered. You can start with the high pass opened up quite high, then gradually open it over 8 to 16 bars. That way the tune feels like it's arriving instead of just appearing. If you've got reverb or noise tails, keep them out of the low end so the mix stays clean. And don't forget the outro. The logic is just reversed. Pull the bass out first, then keep the break and hats going, then strip the low end hit so the next tune can slide in easily. In a real DJ context, the outro matters just as much as the intro. It's not just the end of the track, it's an entry point for the next one. If your sampled break doesn't punch hard enough, add a layer. But be careful here, the original break should stay the identity layer. Use the layer only to reinforce the kick or snare. A clean kick under the break's kick, or a short snare transient under the main snare, can work beautifully. On that layer track, use a Q8 to remove any overlap you don't need, and maybe a saturator with soft clip-on to give it some edge. Keep the layer lower in level than the source break. The source break should still do most of the talking. A good balance is to let the break carry around 70 to 80% of the character, and the layer support it with another 20 to 30%. Now bring in the bass. For old-school jungle vibes, a Reese or sub-Reese hybrid is a great choice. Keep the low end mono and controlled. Sub below about 90 Hz, and if you're using a Reese texture, try keeping most of that higher movement above 120 Hz so it doesn't muddy the sub region. The bass should interact with the drums, not sit on top of them. Think call and response. Let the bass answer the snare. Leave space during drum fills. Hold back the bass when the break gets busier. This is one of the biggest secrets in D&B arranging. Energy often comes from what you remove, not just what you add. Sidechain the bass gently to the kick or the drum bus. Keep it subtle. You want movement, not obvious pumping. A small amount of compression, with a fast attack and moderate release, is usually enough. If the bass feels too static, automate a filter cutoff, or use clip envelopes to make it move in a controlled way. Darker D&B usually sounds better when the motion is intentional, not constantly flashing. Once the core loop is working, add one or two switch-ups. These are the moments that keep the section exciting without turning it into a circus. A one-bar drum fill before the drop is a classic move. A snare flam at the end of bar 8 or 16 works well too. You can also use a small reverse cymbal, a noise swell, or a very restrained beat repeat stutter if you want some extra tension. If you use beat repeat, keep it tasteful. Short grid, low chance, and only on specific transition moments. In D&B, too much effect can smear the groove and take away the physical impact. The transition should hint at change while still keeping the rhythm rolling. Here's a really useful pro move. Create a 4-bar mutation inside the loop. Keep bars 1 to 3 stable, then use bar 4 for a small variation. Maybe a skipped kick, a snare drag, or a tiny reverse slice. That gives the phrase a breathing cycle without making it feel like a new section every bar. Another strong approach is to alternate two versions of the same break. One version can be cleaner and more mix-friendly, the other can be slightly more chopped and aggressive. Then swap them every 8 or 16 bars. That keeps the tune evolving while staying true to the original break identity. Also, check your loop at two different listening levels. Listen quietly first. That tells you whether the groove and balance are working. Then listen louder. That tells you whether the low end is masking anything or whether the snare is getting harsh. If it works at both levels, you're in good shape. A final important check is mono compatibility. Use utility to check the low end in mono, especially on the bass and the drum bus. In a club, that low end stability matters a lot. You want the kick, snare, and sub to stay centered and solid. If you want to push the character a bit further, you can resample the edited break once it's sounding good. Render it to audio, then slice it again. That often gives you a more unified, cooked, old-school texture than endlessly tweaking the original sample. Sometimes the best jungle sounds happen after you've processed and reprocessed the break, just enough to make it feel like part of the track, not just a loop dropped on top.